Okay, well, that's the thing we can say about medicine, ladies and gentlemen. The one thing about medicine is the uncertainty of medicine. There are no absolutes. I'm sure Dr. Massey, from his years of experience, will be able to tell you that in medicine, there are no absolutes. Before I go back to Dr. Massey, though, Barry, there's a question that I want to ask you. When you, at 35 years old, heard that you had heart failure, tell me what that meant for you.
I'll be honest. It was life changing. It was depressing. Because, well, what I should say is that it was depressing afterwards because I was so naive that I didn't know exactly what it entailed. But after I began to find out the entire gravity of heart failure and what it meant, it was depressing, to be honest.
Okay, that's understandable. Speak to us about the changes that you were able to make so you could get through that depression, because I am telling you at this point in time, Barry, there is somebody who is living with heart failure who is depressed, and perhaps your story can help that person to continue to ride through this journey of uncertainty.
What I would say to a person who may be depressed with heart failure is that it's not the death sentence that we may think it is. We can still lead active and healthy lives. You have to make some obvious life decisions, changes, especially with your nutrition. One of the hard lessons that I learned was reducing my sodium intake, because even though I don't have high blood pressure, I still have a lot of pressure in the arteries. But you can do that. You can get back to exercising, even if you cut it back a bit. You can do most things, but you just got to, you have to be positive and believe.
Okay, so Dr. Massey, a patient has just received the diagnosis of heart failure. What are the options? What's the next step, actually? And how do we come to that diagnosis? Apart from the clinical symptoms that we would have discussed just now, like the forward failure and backward failure that Dr. Scantlebury had mentioned, with forward failure being the inability to exercise and do strenuous work, and backward failure being like you're choked up, watering the lungs, and your legs are swollen, and so on. How do we objectively come to the diagnosis of heart failure?
Well, as Don said, it's a clinical syndrome, and it is a compilation of symptoms and signs, the symptoms that Barry gives. But you know what? Symptoms stretch beyond any one symptom, one system, because asthma can present as he presented. And therefore, if he went into a doctor and said, "Oh, yes, I have asthma," I think the doctor drops his guard immediately and say, "Okay, fine, it's the asthma doing it." That breathlessness at night, plus or minus wheezing, effort intolerance can also occur with asthma. So you have to, it's let me quote one of the greats that has passed on. That's Professor George Nicholson. And he said, "We physicians are like little Perry Masons." Well, nobody of your age group would know who Perry Mason was.
Stick a pin,
Okay.
Dr. Massey. Stick a pin. Perry Mason is one of my favorite lawyers.
Right.
Right ahead.
Good. So Nicole used to say, we are like little Perry Masons putting the pieces together. And I think that's what that's what has to be done from the story. It's a story that could be due to heart failure. And then you start to look for the other contributing causes. One of the strongest contributing cause is actually your family history. You are your family. If you come from a heart family, and you can go back and see that in particularly first degree relatives. And then, of course, the clinical findings, as Don mentioned, and now risk factors for heart disease overwhelm just about everything else. Obesity, increased alcohol intake, physical inactivity, and you start getting these little pieces together until you compile that diagnosis of, aha, this is heart failure. Because the patient presents with the symptoms, effort intolerance, shortness of breath at night, needing to prop up, can't do anything that they used to do, plus or minus chest pain. That's fine. And then you add oh, he's predisposed it or she's predisposed it. And I say he or she because it crosses genders. It's not that the girls get mommy disease and the boys get daddy disease. It can go across. A boy can inherit his mother's heart problems. A girl may not get it. And I've seen this in families. So you add the family history and then you look for all the other risk factors. And once you can compile a list, a set of suspects and or persons of interest, and you put them all together, then you come up with the diagnosis. And then you go on from there. The next important thing is exactly what is the cause. There's a myriad of causes. And you've got to find out that one and treat it specifically.
Renee, I can't hear you.
Oh, how is it?
Okay, hearing you.
No, now we can hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Is it still okay?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Sorry about that, listeners. Everybody seems to be having some technical challenges today, you know. There must be a little imp walking around interfering with mics and so on. But my question was to Dr. Scantlebury, inquiring whether or not there was a particular set of investigations that should follow my suspected diagnosis of heart failure as a physician. Is there something that I should order to substantiate that diagnosis, or I just go ahead and treat the symptoms?
Okay, so obviously the first investigation comes through your stethoscope. And a good, and your eyes and your, and your ears, et cetera, a good clinical examination, good history to find out all the things that Dr. Mansi discussed, age and all the risk factors like diabetes and hypertension. And then we do basic stuff like a chest x-ray to see if there's fluid in the lungs and what the heart size is, an ECG to see if there are any abnormal heart rhythms. And such as atrial fibrillation or other abnormal heart rhythms that go along with heart failure. And then we look to see if there are any changes on the ECG, the electrocardiogram, that could suggest that someone has had a heart attack or had blood pressure related to heart disease and thickening of the heart muscle. And then a very important test that we do is a test called an echocardiogram, which is an ultrasound of the heart that kind of is like a window into the chest, where we look at the structure of the heart. We can see the function of the heart.
Dr. Scantlebury, sorry for interrupting you, but Barry, just pay attention to your mic. I think it might be moving or blowing or something. It's causing a little bit of noise. I think it's your mic that's going. Yeah, I think it is, because I'm not hearing noise now. So, and that was coming through while the doctor was speaking, you see, so it's making it hard to hear what she's saying. So, Doc, continue, please.
Okay. So the echocardiogram is the ultrasound of the heart, and that gives us an idea as to what the heart is, how it's squeezing. So we see the function of the heart, we see the structure of the heart, we look for abnormal weakness in any particular wall, thickening. It looks at the valves. We can see if there is any abnormality in the heart valves, whether there is stenosis or narrowing of the valve or leaking at some of the valves. So it gives us a very good idea as to what the underlying cause is. Sometimes there's an appearance on the echo that is very nonspecific, and then we have to go a little bit further. Sometimes we look at the blood vessels that supply the muscle of the heart with indirectly with a stress test or directly with something called a CAT scan or even invasively with a cardiac catheterization. So we look to see if there's any blockages there's any blockage in the blood vessels that supply the muscle of the heart causing that weakness of the heart muscle. Here's Alicia. Hi, Alicia.
Hi.
Hi, Alicia.
Hi.
Perseverance seldom fails, so it is wonderful to have you with us.
Nice to be here.
Yes, we had Barry share his story, and you've come at pretty much an ideal time. In a couple of minutes, I want you to share your story with the listeners, and after we hear your story, we'll take a break, and then we'll get back to the discussion. So go ahead, tell us, how is it that you have ended up in our conversation on heart troubles today?
I was born with a leaking valve, and 4 years ago in 2016, I went into cardiac arrest, which left me in a coma for 32 days, in which time I underwent my first open heart surgery, where the mitral valve was replaced.
Okay, so
then 6 months after that, I had.
All right, let's do the same thing that we did with Barry. So we know that you ended up presenting to accident and emergency in a very serious state. But take us back maybe a couple weeks before. Were you feeling unwell? Did this happen all of a sudden? Were there any warning signs?
Yes, there were plenty. I was tired a lot, and I found that my heart was racing a lot too. Yeah, that's about it. Just being tired often, doing simple things like standing up, breathing here, which is something I do every day. I could not stand for like 5-10 minutes just to breathe somebody's hair. I had to sit down, or I had to go and lay down and come back.
Okay, in an effort to complete what it was that you had started doing.
Yeah.
Okay, is there a history of heart disease in your family?
Not to my knowledge. Since I have had my surgery, my aunt is the only other person really. She had a stroke. Outside of that, none of my siblings have heart disease, or my mother or my father.
Okay, so Dr. Massey, after we take our break, we're going to come to you and we are going to discuss mitral valve prolapse, but we're going to take a break for some messages and then we'll come right back to you, Dr. Massey.
Okay.
All right. I want to thank Dr. Boyce and her team for presenting the Better Health Radio Show. Today, it's coming to you with the kind compliments of A.A. Lachise. And at this time, we'll ask Dr. Boyce to present to you the tip, the Better Health Radio Show tip, with the compliments of A.A. Lachise.
Our listeners, and here is this week's tip. Many persons in our country have been diagnosed with chronic diseases such as diabetes, hypertension, and elevated cholesterol. Here's a tip on those lifestyle changes that your healthcare professional suggests. Reduce the number of processed and sweetened foods in your diet, such as cakes, cookies, and pastries. Try to satisfy that sweet tooth by using preferably fresh or frozen fruits. Apart from being lower in sugar, these foods also contain additional vitamins and minerals, which are good for you. That was today's tip from A.A. Lachise.
Thank you so much, Dr. Boyce. The Better Health Radio Show tip, compliments of A.A. Lachise.
Improve your quality of life with A.A. Lachise Home Healthcare Solutions. Where comfort, mobility, orthopedic, respiratory, diagnostic, safety, home healthcare made easy. Manage your wellness with expert care from Home Healthcare Solutions.
Come to A.A. Lachise at Langens Mall for all of your home healthcare needs.
Home Healthcare Solutions.
And again, a big thank you to A.A. Lachise for jumping on board the Better Health Radio Show. Doc,